Jim!
You're scared of it too. Just like the others.
Because you know what's in there, don't you, Desire?
There's an energy escape. I must stop it!
Now don't worry, I always leave things for the last moment. These husks. Old cast-offs of yours, I take it.
They attack Nimrod and me.
You're insane. If the membrane is broken...
Yes!
Don't touch it!
They attack Nimrod and me.
You're insane if the membrane is broken.
Yes.
Don't touch it!
You're scared of it too.
You're insane if the membrane is broken.
Yes.
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 It's 1968, and Michael Horden's transmitter lets him down at the end of the amateur radio quiz.
Okay, and the final question, if you copy me, the final question is, which weapon used in the 17th and 18th centuries was double-edged and basket-hilted? Which weapon used in the 17th and 18th centuries was double-edged and basket-hilted? Over.
Broadsword!
He's gone, sir. Damn it!
Do you worry about where you're going to put all your jars?
Yes!
Then why not try Big Jars? That's right. Jars big enough to put all your jars in.
Jars!
And if they present a storage issue, then we have good news.
What is it?
Our jars come in a literally infinite range of sizes. There is no jar too big for us to sell you a bigger jar to put it in.
But what about the biggest jar you sell?
You stupid fuck. What do you think infinite means? There's always a bigger jar.
My mind hurts!
It's meant to when you're thinking about infinity.
My mind hurts!
Jars.
There was a second or two, I think, perhaps about a year ago, when I didn't fancy much staying alive.
Really? You contemplate a suicide?
Oh, no. No, I wouldn't kill myself. In the ordinary sense of the word, I wouldn't take pills or drugs or anything really in that sense. But, I did suddenly wake up one morning and found how splendidly rich and extraordinary the world was. And that I couldn't bear its richness and its beauty. And in order to obviate the idea of the richness and extraordinary beauty of the world, I thought it's best to leave it.
How do you leave it if you don't top yourself?
Oh, you can kill yourself any second. I don't mean by any obvious means. But you can, of course, drink yourself to death. Mm-hmm. That's been rather pleasant. Yeah, well, at least...
Is that what you tried to do, to drink yourself to death?
I had a go, yes. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. The doctor in California, I was in California, said that if I kept on as I was going, I only had 2 weeks to live, which was rather fascinating, because when you examine the idea of 2 weeks, every second, every minute, every hour, every day, 2 weeks only, it was absolutely fascinating. I wasn't frightened at all, but fascinating. Because I thought, here we go again, boys. We're on the edge of a terrible precipice. Anyway, I decided to withdraw from the precipice, which I have done. Fascinating idea, of course. I had a go, yeah.
After all of the fear and concern, it turned out it was a gateway into the occult milieu after all. My name's Cavan McLaughlin. I'm particularly interested in occulture. That's both my research specialism in academe, but also a personal interest as a practicing magician and an artist. Listening to, as an Irish Catholic, that was literally terrified of the devil, thought he was under my bed, would jump into bed and do the thing of checking under, you know, all that mad stuff that you hear about. I was in that place. listening to Goddamn Devil, and somehow going like, wait, I'm not terrified. I'm feeling empowered. I'm feeling that maybe there's more going on here and I haven't got the whole story. And that's when I started really pushing back heavily. And I went and did an alpha course, one of the Christian courses, because I was like, right, I'm going to tackle this now. I'm going to go in and debate, and we're going to see if this is right for me or not. And I got really into it. And I remember being in a specific debate where we were getting down to it, and they were talking about how I was asking questions, and I was like, so right, just to clarify, I've never heard of Jesus. I've had no access to Christianity whatsoever. I'm a Buddhist monk on an island who has worked on myself my entire life and is compassionate and is living a good life and doing morally, you know, good things, and could not be Christian because I had no awareness of Christianity. I was like, are you saying I'm going to hell? And they said, yes. And I said, I'm out. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And that was it. That was me. I just walked at that point and I was like, okay, so this is not a thing. And then it was again during the Robert Anton Wilson thing and studying philosophy and really taking a deep dive. And I loved all of the modules I did in the philosophy of religion, really helped me sort that out. And I became, and still am, agnostic. I remain agnostic to this day. It makes the most sense to me. I see the possibility of the truth of either theism or atheism, and I don't feel that I need to deny myself access to being able to just within boundaries go, I'm going to act as though this is what my belief is, really engage with it, which is again the link to the chaos magic. And I've stayed there ever since, because I think being agnostic is the most open and fluid one can be, and that's how I want to remain in my kind of both spiritual practice and intellectual inquiry. I was having very serious anxiety, depression, when I first went to university. I had it all through my teens. It was very, very bad, like weeks in bed in dark rooms bad. I tried meds and they didn't work for me. They zombified me and actually made me more suicidal. I was one of those ones that I remember having the experience where I spoke to my girlfriend about being on the meds, going, well, now I'm a zombie and I can't feel anything. I have no sexual desire. I have no feelings. I was like, I want to go back to being in pain, because at least that was living, you know? So that was bad. That didn't work. And then again, through my friend Tristram Burton, same friend that did the divination, so that's interesting. He directed me to Robert Anton Wilson. And I read The Cosmic Trigger. And in The Cosmic Trigger, he was talking about experimenting with some things that Crowley did. And he had all of these language experiments with regards to Crowley initially had tried to control the words that he was using by slicing himself with a razor blade, which Robert Anton Wilson went, that's a bit much, innit, mate? And I believe he used an elastic band, which he stretched and hardened, pinged himself to kind of reprogram problematic use of language. Because I was really depressed, I was kind of dissociated. And I kind of saw my life and I was like, well, this is a self-fulfilling prophecy because I'm just annoying to be around. I'm always saying negative things. I'm always down on myself. The people that love me are really struggling to listen to all this. And I was like, I wonder, Robert Anton Wilson says, look, just give it, it's an experiment, just try it out. Well, maybe I'll try it out. So I got the elastic band and I started working on only saying positive things about myself, removing all of the negative self-talk, all of the putting myself down, and also just varying away from absolutes, which were concretizing and not allowing roots out, and ambiguity and possibility. And I did this for a few months, initially ironically, because I couldn't believe it. So I was just saying, I'm great, I'm amazed, I'm, you know, but laughing about it because it was so absurd. But what actually happened is I had a complete shift in my consciousness. I had changes in the relationships with the people around me. My whole world transformed. And so that's when I was like, okay, so this magic thing might actually be techniques. There might be a technology here. And maybe I can dig deeper because I think I just helped cure my depression with just changing my language, which actually has a relationship with CBT. I now know further down the line, but at the time I wasn't aware of that. But since then, I've never let go of the power of language, paying lots of attention to what I'm saying. Because I find that often, even when we're in discourse and dialogue with people, we're actually saying things that we need to hear. So I'm constantly checking my language, listening to it, making sure I'm using the right words, making sure I'm not using problematic language that's going to be causing me difficulty. And so that was my kind of entryism into it. And then fell well far down the rabbit hole after that point, and out the other side, I think. So there were stirrings there before, but I wasn't couching them in those terms because I was Northern Irish and I was raised Irish Catholic, so I was raised to be terrified of these things. After all of the fear and concern, it turned out it was a gateway into the occult milieu after all.
Investing in big jars, visit www.jars.jar. Jars are a solid investment opportunity. No, Jaws bad. Jaws smash.
Jaws also contain horrible medical ingredients that make your skin go all scaly like a snake's nut.
Hello. My name is Flammarion Woodcut, and I've come here to complain. I didn't like what I've heard about what's going on in the films. Back in the day, I was a very big film fan, you know. I'd go and see Ghostbusters, Beetlejuice, and I really loved The Crow, you know, with your Brandon Lee. Brandon Lee, he was, you know, Bruce Lee's lad. Brandon. Aye, he looked a bit like him and that. I love that film. I mean, I like the Ghostbusters and that. I'm not afraid of no ghost. I mean, Ghostbusters 2 was a bit shite and that, but, you know, they're wanting to make a bit more money. And they did one with, like, birds and that in it, didn't they? The Ghostbusters, the birds one. Aye, that was all right, that one. I didn't think it'd be very good, but it was all right, you know, the one with all the birds in it. And then they did one with all their nippers and that. You know, the one with all the bands in it, the Ghostbusters. I think they called it the Ghostbusters bands. Yeah, and they've got another one coming out, and I might go and watch that, you know, because I like that. I'm not scared of any ghosts and that. But you can't remake The Crow, man. I don't think it's ethical to remake The Crow. Are you telling me that they're going to put out another film in which they shoot dead the leading actor just to make the film successful in that? You can't shoot dead a leading actor in 2024. I mean, you could get away with that in the 90s. It's just not ethical. Did Brandon Lee give up his life for nothing? That Beetlejuice film could fuck off and all. Why can they not make anything new? I'd like to see a film about a wasp.
Inadvisable Trapdoor is written and produced by me, Andrew O'Neill.
Remember what they did to your legs?
Yes.
The occult interview in this episode was with Cavan McLaughlin. You can find Cavan's work on a variety of places around the internet, including occultural.net and trans-states.org. He's also on Instagram and various other social media. The full hour-long conversation I had with Cavan, which is incredibly interesting and goes in depth into his upbringing, his beliefs, and how his worldview was shaped over the years, can be found over on my Patreon, patreon.com/AndrewO'Neill. I'm incredibly grateful to the people who support this podcast and my other work by subscribing to my Patreon. If you don't currently, please consider signing up for maybe the price of a pint or a fancy coffee every month. I generally make 2 or 3 things that I charge for a month, never more than 3. You may notice that there are no real adverts on the inadvisable trapdoor, because I think advertising is basically fucking evil. So, my entire support comes from Patreon, from you lot, supporting what I do, and I appreciate it so, so much. But if you can't afford that, if you're skint, or if you just don't want to, that's fine. The podcast is free. But I do ask that you spread the word about the inadvisable trapdoor. Bang on about it on social media. Like and subscribe and go onto your podcast provider and leave a review and 5 stars. All of that stuff really helps fight the deadly algorithm. I'm sure you'll agree there's no other podcast like this one. So if you dig it, please support it. Patreon.com/Andrew O'Neill. You can also come and see me doing stand-up. Look at andrewoneill.co.uk/shows. Thank you so much. Spread the word. Lead heroic lives. And I'll talk to you soon.
Don't know why.
Are you looking for a special night out? Do you love psychological crime procedurals? Are you a fan of Robbie Coltrane's hard-drinking, gambling-addicted criminal psychologist Edward Fitzgerald? Then why not try the Cracker Dining Experience? Delight in a 3-course meal as our very own Fitz utilizes aggressive psychological techniques to extract a confession live from one of your fellow diners. Perhaps you yourself have done something horribly, horribly wrong. Enjoy having our professional Fitz impersonator tear open your psyche and break you down into a weeping mess as you admit your despicable crimes. Then indulge yourself from our dessert trolley. Drinks are included, but you'd better get to them before Fitz does. The Cracker Dining Experience. But wait! Do you like a background level of quiet desperation with your meals? Then why not try the ever-decreasing circles dining experience? Yes, you too can enjoy a 3-course meal while someone doing an impression of that character that Richard Briers did that was quite sort of sad and desperate and sort of had OCD and like his wife was like sort of maybe going to have an affair with the next door neighbour, but it sort of seemed like she wouldn't. And you never really knew why the two of them were together, but there was sort of like a hint that maybe something horrible had happened to her and he'd sort of rescued her and that's, you know, sort of he like deserved having her in the background. Anyway, I always found it quite depressing. The Ever-Degreasing Circles Dining Experience.
The inadvisable trapdoor is now closing.
It isn't the end. I know I can make it work. Don't despair.
Despair is the death of hope. And all our hope died years ago.